Welcome to the YA Podcast. Lean in as we dive into the practicals of life with Jesus as spirit-filled young adults.
Well, welcome back to the NEMA Young Adults Podcast. So good to have you listening here today. You might be like, who is this voice? Who is this host? It's Jess Caruana, back for my second episode, but my first time hosting. So thank you guys for having me. Thank you, Pastor Thomas and Kelsey, for having me on this episode. And we're going to have so much fun continuing our topic of being the corporate body. And I am joined here by the one and only Hannah Lim. Woo! Say hello. Welcome. Cheer from your homes and your cars. So welcome, Hannah. We love you, Hannah. So excited to have you here talking about this today with us.
Hello.
Why don't you just introduce yourself and just tell everyone, like, for those that don't know, I'd be surprised if you don't know her, because she is so, so much a part of our church and such a beautiful face, always in the foyer chatting with people and bringing people around her. So I'd be surprised if you don't know Hannah, but for those that don't know you, would you just introduce yourself? Just tell us what you do, who you are, what you love.
Sure. Hello. I am so happy to be here talking about this. I am a student at the moment. I study architecture at RMIT. Yeah, I also work in architecture as well. And I love playing music. I love playing the piano. Sometimes fun is like such a privileged thing to be able to do,
kind of, right?
To have time. But I actually love going on walks. Like, that, yes, is the one thing that I always do if I get a moment or if I get a chance. Going on walks, going on hikes.
Yes, I love seeing, yeah, your hikes on Strava.
It's the best.
Even though I'm like, hot take, but I think Strava is only for running and like actual exercise, and walking is not. But when you do a hike, I feel like a hike, it gets you out of breath. Like, a hike is a real exercise.
It does. It does. No, that is actually so true. Real exercise. And also, like, when it tracks the amount of elevation gain, that's when you know that it's a real hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. You feel really good about yourself at the end of one of those.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for coming on the episode today, Hannah. I'm so excited to talk about this with you. For those that don't know, Hannah and I actually have the privilege of doing ministry together. So as part of my role as a university's pastor here at NEMA Melbourne City, I work with incredible uni students that lead on their campus. And Hannah is one of our key leaders for RMIT, and she does an awesome job in bringing the students there together and discipling them, hosting events, cooking for them. She cooks beautiful lunches and dinners for them, which I know they love.
And they're sometimes burnt.
But, you know, it's all part of the fun. And so we have the privilege of doing that together. And we've done different different areas of ministry together. We've been the young adults team together for a while. But aside from doing ministry, you're also such a great friend, and you're such a genuine person. And I'm excited to have you, not just because you have so much to say in this, but also just because you're such a genuine person. And, yeah, I know that you're going to have a lot of good things to say, and you're such an encouragement to our young adults family. So,
thank exciting. You.
So we're going to jump straight into it, if you're good to go, which is, we're talking about the Great Commission today, and specifically how that plays a role in being a part of the corporate body. So what does it mean to leave the Great Commission in the corporate body of our church family, and how do the seeds that are planted in the corporate body, be it services, life groups, family, serving, whatever it is, how do the seeds that are planted in us actually impacts the world around us? And this is something that I burn for and I'm so passionate about, because serving the church is so important. But if we only look to ourselves, then we'll never have an impact on the world around us. And glorifying Jesus actually looks like changing the world around us.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with the language of the Great Commission, read your Bible, read Matthew 28, and I'll just read to you. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. And that's how the book of Matthew ends, with this commission of Jesus saying, hey, I've taught you these things. Now I want you to go and to release that. Mm. And he's released us with his authority. Mm. So, Hannah, I really want to talk to you about what does that look like for you in your own relationship with Jesus, and how has that overflowed into living the Great Commission, specifically in church and being a part of Pneuma for some years now? How long have you been coming here?
I think I've been here for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. Yep. So even, and, you know, different churches and different expressions maybe before that. Yep. Even in your time in the 5 years here at Pneuma, how have you been equipped in the church setting to actually live this out and to bring that to others?
Yeah. I mean, firstly, I would say that being a part of the church, the corporate body, which is the church, has, like, it is so, so linked to be able to outwork your faith in the other spheres of your life. Like, there is no chance that I could do any of the things outside of the four walls of the church without actually being rooted and planted in a corporate body. Like, that is where the formation of my faith has been so, so developed. And so I think in terms of how the church, how the corporate body has impacted the sphere outside and how I've been equipped is actually just through role models, I would say. Like, role models is one thing. It's like role models play like a key role in like the formation of a child's life, right? Like in them growing up, they look at their parents, and their parents teach them like behaviors, thoughts, and morals, and how to do things as well. Yeah. And I feel like in some ways I'm like still a child. Like, I'm still learning.
Child of God.
Yeah, child of God. And I'm still learning. And so in that sense, like, just the way that it's almost like 1 Corinthians 11:1.
Yeah.
Imitate me as I imitate Christ.
So
where Paul says that it's like, I have access to such a wealth of role models within the church who are who are leaders. You know, they might be pastors, they might just be leaders, but they're all role models in some capacity that I actually learn from the way that they outlive their life. And then I take that on. I'm like a visual learner in that sense. Like, I'm still learning how to love people, literally, how to share the gospel with people. And people like, literally like you, I'm sitting opposite an amazing role model today, who will stand side by side you. And that is a form of equipping in going out into the world and actually sharing the gospel, sharing faith, and outworking that side by side one another. And that has been such a equipping way for me to even live out the commission, the Great Commission.
Yeah, totally. And I think even you saying that just reminded me of one of my favorite verses in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It talks about how Paul is talking to the church of Thessalonica, and he's saying, like, I long for you, and he says, we were well pleased to impart not only the gospel of God but also our own lives because you had come dear to us. And I think it's so beautiful, like, you know, it's not just a preaching on platform, but actually people, and what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say is that people that have come alongside actually modeled how to live an evangelistic lifestyle, how to live the Great Commission, how to disciple people.
Yeah.
That's actually helped form that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Because not to dismiss the amazing preaching, you know, and like the amazing resources like Team Advance and all of the other different, like, Sharing Jesus Confidently, like, those are so amazing.
Good.
And
yep.
they have helped me so, so much, like, reading through them, even being Pastor Cherie Rice's mentoring table about evangelism.
Yeah.
Like, those resources, so, so amazing. But, like, the way that I also learn is, for me personally, is through action, like going out and doing something with somebody, because that has formed the way that, you know, I live that out in the day-to-day as well.
Yeah. And I think it's so important for people that are naturally evangelistically inclined to come into the body and to be able to model that for others and to be able to see other people do it. and do that together.
Yeah, exactly.
I think like when we get in our own little world, we can be siloed and isolated, and it's actually not healthy. But
yeah,
when we can see other people do things and we can be refined and watch the way that they love others, like
yeah,
it refines us and it purifies us and equips us in such a deep way.
Yes, exactly. And I also just think that like when you've captured the heart of God, which is to have his love shared with absolutely everybody, that everyone would receive his love, like in capturing that heart of the Father, and when you see people experience God outside the four walls of the church, even inside church,
yeah,
like it just like it bounces off of you, like when you see like other believers sharing about their faith and hearing testimony stories, or yes, even hearing the way that someone has received Jesus on the streets, that really like stirs up this faith within you to want to even go out and do that even more and
yes,
more and more and more. So
yes,
yeah, that is exciting.
And something that I feel like we've been talking a lot recently about as a church is like the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? So when
yes,
we testify of something, we are prophesying that in someone else's life.
Yeah.
I love it when we share testimonies of like someone got healed or someone got saved or whatever. It's like, it's so encouraging because
yes,
I'm like, oh, that can happen for me too. Like,
yeah,
I might've got rejected or I might've prayed for someone and nothing happened, but look, like Hannah prayed for this person got healed and da, da, da.
Yeah.
And like, I can be encouraged by that,
yes,
and be equipped in my spirit through the encouragement.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly, yeah, exactly. And that was another thing with the equipping of the body of Christ is through encouragement. Like at Pneuma, we have such a strong culture of encouragement,
yeah,
that it's contrary to competition that, you know, stifles the work of the Holy Spirit, but like encouragement and coming alongside one another, like Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the walls, like each one along each one,
yeah,
where you're coming shoulder to shoulder with another believer in Christ, and you are all doing the work of the ministry, playing your specific roles in that. And yeah, like that is so amazing to have that encouragement of being alongside one another as well.
Yeah.
In the form of equipping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the other beautiful thing about family is that, you know, we can each play a slightly different role to one another, and that, you know, we can evangelize differently. We can disciple people differently,
yeah,
or towards Jesus. And
yeah,
you can learn from people's differences, not that you need to be uniform and to copy them, but to actually just learn from, wow, that person's so good at doing X, Y, Z. Maybe that's not my style, but I can learn from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
So good.
So would you share a specific example, Hannah, in your own life where you have had an experience, whether it's in a church service, in a life group, just through hanging out with church family, mums and dads in the church, that has planted a seed in you in that corporate setting that has actually produced a harvest in the world around you, be it your workplace or university?
Yeah. That's a huge question.
Yeah.
Because I think when I think of seeds, I actually think of like just the wealth, like the numerous and multiplicitous.
We always make up words, Hannah and I, when we're together. Just fun fact.
Create a new dictionary.
Yeah.
The multiplicitous. No.
Come
the
on now.
The numerous amount of seeds that are actually planted.
Yeah.
And because like God is a generous sower.
Yes.
Like he plants so many seeds, and all of them will sprout up in their due time as well. And I think that for me, like I don't know if I can pinpoint a specific seed, but in relation to the harvest, I feel like before I can even start talking about the harvest, there had to be such a work in my heart,
yeah,
for me to even think about the harvest, if that makes sense. Like for me, right, to even like think about Matthew 28, the Great Commission, like there had to be a work done in me, and that itself was a seed planted. Like I had to, like I used to be a really bitter person. I used to be really angry and selfish, really. And so I really needed the love of God literally to come into my heart, and I needed to receive of that love. And so it's almost like the seed that has been planted before time even, like the seed of love that has been given to us from God, I needed to receive of that myself in that sense.
Yeah.
And so even in me receiving his love from there, then I started, you know, I healed from that. Like, I used to be so bitter to the point where if someone was doing something nice towards someone, I would be angry about it.
Yeah,
and
wow.
So that was a form of healing that needed to take place for me to then go on and love other people. And because a lot of about what sharing Jesus is and sharing the gospel is, you do it out of love. Like,
absolutely,
everything is moved by compassion. Yeah. But I had no compassion for anyone. So that's why that was something that needed to be dealt with in my heart and healed in my heart to reap a harvest later on.
Wow.
And so in the compassion of the Father's heart that I started to feel for myself, sharing Jesus with people, especially, so this would be in the space of uni. My uni is pretty anti talking about any form of religion, as with most unis, I'm pretty sure. But there was just a beautiful opportunity to share the love of Jesus with a girl that, so I was like just going into uni. It's like, it was this was like at 9 p.m. at night.
Wow.
This point. And we were all just, you know, architecture culture is everyone's just like churning away, trying to do their renders and their work. And so I was sitting next to this random girl at the computer desk, and she kind of, like, upon sitting there, I noticed that she looked really like quite sad, quite upset. But, you know, don't want to be too weird. So then I just like did my work. And then there was an opportunity to kind of talk to her and like just ask her, oh, what course are you in? What subject are you studying and all of that? And then she started to open up about her life, and she was very like easy to like quick to open up about her life in a way. And that was a space where I actually really felt like God wanted to minister healing and peace in that situation.
Wow.
Like she couldn't, her finals were tomorrow, her final presentation, I mean, was the next day.
Wow.
And she couldn't even think about that because of this other issue that was on her mind and on her heart that was hurting her. And I had never prayed for anyone in uni at that time.
Wow.
But it was almost like the compassion of the Father came over me, and I just had to pray for her, like in the middle of the computer lab, just pray for her and ask if I could pray for her, really. And after that prayer, she was just telling me that she experienced tremendous peace. She was like so she was beaming after that, actually.
Wow.
Like you could feel the relief, I guess, of the beautiful weight of the feelings and the emotions that she had. And that's not to say that, like, it's not like the harvest, like she submitted her life to God right there and then, right? But it's almost like a seed that was sown in me is a seed that is sown in her, and
yes,
and that is something that she's gonna remember as well.
Yeah, and the fruit of your life is peace.
Yeah.
So like the Lord sowed a seed in you, and then you've become a tree, a righteous tree planted by rivers of living water, and then you've produced a fruit, and then the seed of that fruit, which is that peace of the Lord that's been a gift to her.
Yeah.
And has become a seed in her now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And so we talk beautiful about sowing seeds a lot. Especially in evangelism and in the kingdom, it's like, oh, you know, sowing lots of seeds in people's lives. But like you never know. Like a lot of people do experience lots of different little encounters with people that eventually lead them to the Lord.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
You know, countless times when either myself or someone I know has led someone to Jesus through a salvation prayer, we've later then heard that they had all these other little encounters beforehand.
Exactly.
So you're just one of the many that she might have that draw her to Jesus. That's such a beautiful story.
Yeah. I love times like that where people would have no experience or understanding of who Jesus is, and then they would come to know who, and like that's just the work of God. Like that's just what he does, and that's who he is. Oh my gosh, wait, actually, it just reminds me of another story. Can I share it?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
there was this girl who actually, had no understanding or like even awareness of who Jesus is. She came from a Buddhist background but she doesn't really follow that belief or that belief system. And so I met her on the streets and I just started talking with her about who Jesus is and just shared who he is and what he did, what he came here to do. And that salvation is literally accessible and free for her today. And so she was kind of hesitant at the start to be like, oh, but she was kind of saying, but I would like to learn a little bit more about who he is before, you know, accepting him into my heart or living a life of following him, like completely surrendering my life to him, which is completely understandable.
He's counting the cost.
Exactly. Yeah, cost-benefit analysis. But I just kept sharing, I guess, my testimonies with her and how he's actually transformed my life. And then it was at this point where I just asked her, can I pray for you? And she was looking for a job at that point. And so I just said, okay, I would just pray for a job. And she was also saying she was feeling really lonely. So prayed for that as well. And she literally encountered God on the streets there. I could see her face. She was literally encountering God. Like I don't know how else to describe it.
So good.
And right there and then I asked her, do you want to accept Jesus into your life? And she said, yes. Wow. And so, yes, we said the salvation prayer, but that is also more for her to understand what she's actually saying yes to.
Yeah.
In the sense of Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, like come and dwell within me. And Jesus, I acknowledge that you are God and Savior and you died for my sins and you are the King. And so that was more so her acknowledging that and speaking out that truth, right? And so what was crazy was that after that whole conversation, she went on and then she actually messaged me because I was saying to her, oh, go to church because that is where your faith can grow after that.
Yeah.
And that's what has happened for me as well in my formative years of the Christian journey. And she actually messaged me after that and she said, oh, I found a church that I would really love to go to. And then what's even crazier is that the next day she was really looking for community, right? And the next day she actually found someone's, like, she picked up someone's card or something and she handed it back to them, like they lost their card, and turns out that person was a Christian.
Wow.
And they're actually going for dinner the next day. And so even just in that prayer, she has seen the outworking
Beautiful.
Of God in her life, of going to a church, finding community, and now she's actually wanting, there's that like desire in her to want to know more about who God is.
Yeah.
And so that to me is just like, it brings me so much joy to know that God actually works so much more than we ever think he does, especially in other people in outreach, and like he's doing more outreach than we are.
Totally. He wants to see this world saved even more than we do.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, you know, pushing up people, but like, no, Jesus wants to save these
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
So good.
Exactly.
And I just love that story because you showed her a demonstration of who the Lord was.
Yeah.
And then introduced her to it. Remind me of 1 Corinthians 2 where it says that, where Paul is saying, my speech was not persuasive and I'm trying to convince you, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And like, yes, it is words, but
yeah.
it's like our faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Yes.
And you got to display that to her.
Yes.
And how that even connects with the corporate body is that you've had experiences of the manifest presence of God at home, hopefully, as well,
yeah.
but in the church setting and in the corporate body, and you get to encounter what does the Holy Spirit feel like and what does it mean when someone prays over me and I feel that.
Yes.
And because you've received that, you can also go ahead and give that to someone else.
Exactly.
And like maybe you might not have known that if you weren't part of the church and actually being able to experience that for yourself and like know how to pray for someone.
Yeah.
Exactly. And all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
And I just love, even as you were saying earlier, just reminded me, like, the disciples, you know, when you were saying your own experience about coming in with like bitterness and anger and stuff, like when Jesus called the disciples, like especially Matthew tax collector, like, and all of them, like, they'd messed up lives. Like, they would have been bitter and horrible. And I don't know if you've seen The Chosen recently, but like,
oh,
it's so good. Like, all you listeners, if you haven't watched The Chosen, would recommend. It really personifies the disciples. Like sometimes we don't realize some of like how human they were when we read our scriptures. And there's a few examples, but you probably don't put as much like visual things in. We're both visual people, so like when we see it, it makes much more sense. But like they're really broken people. There's this episode where
are you talking about Peter? The Peter one?
Yeah, well, they have to like apologize and forgive. Maybe not.
This is another one.
It's a newish episode at the time of recording. But anyway, it's where they have to like come to terms with their humanity and like, you hurt me, but I forgive you. And And it's so beautiful because when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, he hasn't just pulled them straight out of their boat or out of their tax collecting office. He has literally discipled them for 3 years and shown them how to do ministry and shown them how to love people. And then he said, go and do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, actually a lot of new Christians are the best evangelists because they've experienced the power of God and they can go out and tell people straight away.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And that's like, I love the passion of that. And I think keep doing that if that's you, keep doing it. But as you grow in church, you should grow into a more whole human that can share that with others. Yeah. We actually shouldn't get more comfortable in church that we're less passionate than the new believers.
Exactly.
We should be just as passionate.
That's so true.
Man, this is going to get me fired up, but we should be just as passionate on day, you know, on your 10th year of coming to church as you were on your first year of coming to church. Like, oh, the prayer of David, like, restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Yes,
like that
yes.
reminder that like, what a privilege. And I think sometimes in church we get so used to just the way we do life and we forget the privilege of our salvation and the joy that we get to be partnered with. And I think, it should produce that result, not the opposite.
No, for sure. And I also feel like literally what you were saying about that joy, the fullness of joy that we carry around as believers, like that carries ripple effects into the world that is around us. And it doesn't even always end in someone giving their life to Jesus, but it literally is also just like, sharing that joy, like the if we talk about the equipping of the church body and even speakers that come in to speak at NEMA, Chuck Parry was one of them who was so inspirational, or not even just inspirational, but like transformational in the way that I started to approach life was that I recognized through his ministry that whoever believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
And I love that scripture. Like, I think I walk around the streets with just that scripture, like repeated in my mind, like all the time, because it's literally such a good reminder of who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
And that the king that we serve is on the throne. And so we actually have the fullness of joy in us all the time. And we get to just carry that around.
So good.
And yeah, like,
it's awesome, Hannah. And I love, like, because you do this so well, I think I want to ask you the question, like, how do you almost remember to carry that around? Or how do you bridge that gap between, like, yes, it's so easy to glorify God in church and it's easy to pray for others when you're in that environment where it's like you're surrounded by Jesus and you're surrounded by the presence of the Holy Spirit and people that love God. But then you go into your uni where people are so opposed to Jesus, as we mentioned at the start. Or you go into your workplace and it's a really secular environment and people just care about their career and advancing their career. And all of us are in workplaces or families going home to parents or siblings that don't love the Lord, and the environment is so almost bipolar and you don't know how to like bridge it. So how do you personally like bridge that gap and not live a compartmentalized life? So I'm this person in this environment. I'm like, I'm a Sunday Christian, but I'm a Monday worldly liver, you know.
When my assignments take over everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, sometimes my assignments do everything. No, I'm joking. But there are, like, that's not to disqualify the hardship, I guess, of just going through day-to-day life. Like, I for sure know that, like, there have been times in my life where it has been, like, uni, for example, used to be this depressing place that I hated being at. But when I started to, in bridging that gap, it was literally like, it was probably like what I was saying earlier, of just like being profoundly impacted so much by God, by the love of God, by the outpouring of his love in the corporate body, but also in my own time with him.
Yeah.
And in the transformational ways that I've seen him outwork in my life, like from that point of bitterness and anger. And I think the place of uni is actually a place where I can really pinpoint the transformation. Like every single time I go back there, like it really used to be a place of depression for me.
Wow.
And suicide. And so whenever I go, like I was so hesitant to go back to uni at the start of last year for those reasons.
Yep.
And, but after I came to know God, after a few years of going, of being in uni, I've actually noticed like, yeah, literally, as you said, like the polar opposite. I have the polar opposite approach to going to uni because of who God is and how he's transformed my life. And so like, how could I not share or want the same for anyone else in that environment?
Man, yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know if there's any other way of saying that, but like when you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that's all that you ever want. Like, why would you go back to something prior, or why would you go back to a former way of living?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I do hold that really dearly in my heart, I guess, the transformation, transformational work and who God is in my life.
Yeah.
That every time I step into a sphere that is contradictory or of an opposing spirit to the spirit of God or the spirit of peace, I'm instantly reminded like, hey, that's actually where I used to be. And that's actually not where I am anymore.
Yeah.
And the King who I serve and who I live for, he walks before me in these spheres. Like I know that he walks before me in these spheres. So it's almost like we have the mind of Christ, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
even before walking into those places, like we already know that he is at work in those spaces. And I just want to jump onto whatever he's on in that space. Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah, I love that. And I think even in what you're saying, just having that awareness that like God is literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And we feel his manifest presence. And actually Pastor Joel talked about this, I think, in the consecration podcast episodes with Pastor Aaron. It was so good. But like there's different types of the presence of God. Like God is everywhere, but then we also have the manifest presence of God.
Yeah.
And so if we know that God is everywhere, but we get to be a part of seeing the manifestation of his presence because we carry it, then you're choosing to walk into that place of God who's already there. He's already before me. You know, Psalm 139. Even if I go into hell,
he's already there.
He's already there. I'm not going to say any more on that. But like if he's everywhere and his light is within me, I've been called to bring that light into every atmosphere that I go.
Yeah.
And that's why I love doing things like prayer walks. Yeah. Like whenever I start a new prayer walk with a new student, I'm like, I love watching them have the revelation that, oh yeah, God is here too. I walk into a lecture theater that's just like you have the worst lectures in there, and or it's like really dark and dingy, or it's just gross. Or like you walk into these places on your uni campus and you're like, ugh, like it's not nice here. But actually when you walk in prayer, you're like, oh my gosh, the Lord is here.
Yeah.
Imagine if these seats were filled with people that were listening to the word. Imagine if worship filled these places. And we've all had so much fun like praying over uni campuses and just seeing how God could move in that space and then watching him move and actually see some of our visions come to life, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same in a workplace as well. Like, you know, when I worked in the secular world, I loved it because I got to bring what the Lord was doing in me, and I get to go share it with my colleagues, and I got to be a light to them. Yes. And that's where we really get to shine. You know, when we're in church, we're candles in with the lights on, but when we go into the darkness, we're a candle and like you stand out because we're different.
Yeah.
And I think that that's such a beautiful privilege and an opportunity to do it. And I just love what you're saying of like, how can you not? Like, how can I not carry that everywhere I go?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've had a true experience.
And I think it's also easy to turn that into a burden, like the how can I not to turn it into a burden of like, I have to talk to every single person that I see who's walking down the street about God now. It's so easy to turn that into like a should instead of a I get to,
yep.
or an overflow of God's love in my life.
Yeah.
And I think like, yeah, it's easy to get so bogged down of like, oh, where are the fruits? Where are the fruits of what I'm doing? Of where are the fruits of this ministry? And I think like even just identifying that God actually works in so many different ways. Like he encounters each of the people that do not yet know him, but he will be at work in their life in a different way that than the way that he might have necessarily been at work in my life, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I think the episode from not episode, but the sermon from Pastor Shane Willard.
Yes.
About how God actually encounters every single person and like their salvation story may be completely different to yours.
Mm.
And so almost like who am I to say how they are to come into knowing God?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I think like taking off that burden from us, like of we need to share with every single person. Like I think it's more so just like, yeah, jumping onto what God is already on.
Mm. Yeah, totally. And I think we all, and this is something I've wrestled with a fair bit, but like we all have a different way to express
yes.
how we share with other people. And so yeah. for some people, to use some Pastor Sheree language, some people are like fishermen and some people are like hunters.
Yeah.
And so some will sit and wait for the Lord to speak and then we'll like catch
mm.
and others will just need to go for it. And so we all have different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. But also in what you're saying as well, is we all have different testimonies
yeah.
and different stories we could share.
Yeah.
And if it was only my testimony on repeat, there are so many people that would miss out on the kingdom.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I'm so thankful that like doing it together with family and
yeah.
being able to go into your uni together with others. But, you know, as individual believers in different workplaces, we get to share our story with others and find the other Christians and band together and start a prayer meeting and,
yeah.
and you know, stir each other up in your faith. Like,
mm.
I'm sure if you're working in a big organization, there is someone else that's a Christian. Like,
yeah.
hunt each other down, like, get
yeah.
together
yep.
And find those people and
yep.
have those brothers and sisters that you can yep. do this with, because it's so much better in community.
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
Even, like, just being in that sphere or that environment of workplaces and that environment of unis,
mm.
wherever you may be, you are perfectly placed as well.
Yep.
Like we're completely there because we're going to impact people around us. Like
sure.
We are there for a specific influence to have that influence over people as well.
That's so good. Yeah.
yeah.
It's like you're there for such a time as this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Just as we wrap up this podcast episode, which has been so awesome, I just want to ask you one last question, Hannah, which is what advice would you give to others in, I mean, we've kind of really touched on it. We've actually started moving in that direction already, but in living the Great Commission in all spheres of life, uni, work, family, all the things, what would be your piece of advice if you could give one?
My piece of advice would be to yield to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he is the vine, we are the branches. When we think about like the Great Commission, it's about reaping that harvest, right?
Mm.
And as we've completely spoken about over the course of this podcast, is that he is the one that is actually encountering them. He is the one that has saved them. And he is determining what that looks like as well. And so in us yielding to God is just literally saying, God, I love this. My will be undone, your will be done.
Yes.
and so, yeah, yielding literally is just like practically in every single space, like what does it look like for you to be at work in this space, God? Like what do I need to surrender so that your will would be done in this space? And sometimes like in a uni space, that it's as literally as practical as being patient with your group mate, so that they would see the character of Christ resonate in you and they would see God in
Beautiful.
You.
Yeah.
That literally opens a door as well. or refraining, withholding your tongue in another space of the workplace or something. So it's almost like elements of surrender in our life speak more than words sometimes as well. But yeah, it's that constant yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In every single space, like pray unceasingly, always be carrying around that realization that like, oh God, you're here.
Yeah.
Oh God, but you're here.
Yes. Yeah, and like prayer is a dialogue, and in that passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 where it says pray without ceasing, it's both talking to God and listening to God at all times.
Yeah,
and I think
that's
ultimately undergirding what you're saying is listening to the Holy Spirit and being obedient when he says to go.
Yeah.
And if I could just add one thing as well, like I really think that sharing our faith is a spiritual discipline as well.
Yeah.
And just as much as prayer and worship and reading the word, it's actually something that we need to continue to practice and to continue to do as a discipline, as worship to the Lord.
That's so awesome.
Thank you so much for the stories that you've shared and for the experiences that you've shared over the time that we've had together. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope and I pray that this has blessed you and encouraged you to step out in faith. If you have a story that you want to share with us, if you have a testimony, we would love to hear it. We'd just love to hear how this encouraged you as well. So thank you so much, Hannah, for joining us. And thank you, listeners. We will see you or listen. You will listen to us real soon. See ya.